I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are so happy you could be with us today. My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, honor Him, and have a personal relationship with Him. Thank you for your comments to us. A recent note of thanks from North Carolina reads, "For years I saw your dear father on Sundays on television. His love for Jesus was so real. Even though he has graduated to heaven, I still tune in every Sunday. I am 92 and need Jesus more and more for his love and support. Your broadcast is a reminder of the help that only can be provided by the Lord. In today's message, tithing, whose idea was it? Dad expresses the importance of the subject of money and 4 points about tithing. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're happy as the weeks go by and we gather together, and I can just see you all over the world, and we're all worshiping Jesus. All the believers are worshiping, and new people are coming all the time. They're hearing the gospel and they're coming to Jesus. And our whole family is growing as people open their heart to the Savior. Oh, it's just wonderful. And so we just welcome you all. And we're looking at Psalm 118 this morning. "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Dear Heavenly Father, we just agree with the psalmist so much. It is better to put trust in the Lord than confidence in man, because man will fail us, but you will never fail us. And so help us, oh dear God, we're praying that everybody that hears this service, that they'll open their heart to you. If they haven't done so, they'll become a child of the King, a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us and sing a song, "A Child of the King." God bless you.
Child of the King, a child of the King.
Well, thank you, Jan. And I guess you have to follow that up with asking, are you a child of the King? You're not a child of the King unless you ask Jesus into your heart. That's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to heaven. Sometimes people think it's some ritual they go through, and some of them, a lot of people think it's their works that they do, and others think, oh, what if, you know, if I just, maybe if I do one thing or another. But the way to heaven is through a person, Jesus, beautiful Jesus. And the way to have him in your life and the way to go through that door is to just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take them all away. And I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You make that prayer and you're a child of the King. So maybe during the service you can do that, or maybe you've done it right now. Just hope everybody hearing us is a child of the King. Well, we have some nice letters. And we always want to thank you for writing because we get about, I guess around 100 letters a day. And we check every one of them. And so I want to share some today. And the first one is from Indianapolis, Indiana. And this, listen to this fellow here. This is a man writing this. Recently, I ordered 3 copies of The Heart of a Shepherd. I sent you a gift, but my wife of 69 years said I was cheap. He put in how much he sent. I'm not going to put that down. But it was all right. He says, my wife, 69 years, said I was cheap. She's usually right. Don't tell her. See, now that's the men are. My wife is right, but don't tell her, whatever you do. So don't tell her. I appreciate your zeal for Christ. What a blessing you are. You all are to me and my wife. Anyway, after hearing you say you send out the videos postage paid and free to those incarcerated, I felt a little cheap in his service. And I wrote and I said, first of all, congratulations on 69 years. That is just wonderful. And second, I don't want to get into any family discussion whether it was cheap or not, but I would just say it's frugal. But whatever you send is fine with us, because now this is our 40th year, and God has been faithful every year. We've never been in trouble, never been in jail for not paying our bills or anything like that. And so he'll always provide. And so we just give you thanks, and we're glad. And this is what he's doing. This man is getting the heart of a shepherd. And we want you to get this. It's an hour long. It's an evangelistic message. And it'll speak to people. Maybe they don't know the Lord. It's explained. It's just as clear as a bell. And you get them to come over to your house and watch it, or just give them that as a gift, a present, and help us get the word out. That's what we have to do. And all we have to do is get the word out, nothing else, because the Holy Spirit will take the word and apply it, and he'll do all the work. We just spread the word. That's our business. Well, let's see. Denver, Colorado. We watch your show every Sunday. We love God and you. You are worth a million to us. We have done a lot. You have done a lot for us. We will write again. Thank you for your show. Well, you're worth a million. Really, I'm worth about 2 cents. But I got $1 million message. That's the big thing. And that's what Paul was writing about. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so if I bring it, it sounds, well, like $1 million. It's worth more than $1 million because it's the word of God. And it's a way of salvation. And you can find your way home, find your way to Jesus. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But you have to make the prayer. You have to make the move to accept the Lord Jesus. So we just thank the Lord for that. Here's Portland, Oregon. As much as I thank the Lord for the heavens and skies, I thank him for all the Christian Worship Hour in your ministry. You have set my life back on track, and I cannot tell you enough. I cannot thank you enough. God bless you with his love. Try to stay out of the heat in our Savior's love. And look at there, you have set my life back on track. That means she was once, this person was once walking with the Lord, drifted away somehow. That's easy to do. It's happened to me. I get busy doing things. I let the Bible reading slip. And the first thing I know, I'm not in fellowship with the Lord like I should be. And maybe you got offended at something. And we had a letter. I had a letter from a lady, and she was saying the same thing. Thank you. I'm going back to church because you've urged me to go back to church. She says, I quit church a long time ago. And then she says, I can't remember what I quit about. Now, wasn't that some big time stuff? See? So praise God. And if you drifted away from the Lord and you're not as close to Him as you should be, just tell Him you're sorry. Ask Him to forgive you for your negligence and walk with Jesus. That's what the prodigal son did. And the father took him and hugged him and rejoiced because he came to the Lord, came back home. Get back on track. Yep. Here's Billings, Montana. I know you tell us that when we ask to be forgiven, we will be made new, clean as snow. But I feel so terrible about the things I've done wrong and the awful sins I've committed against God. I've broken so many of the commandments, and I'm ashamed of all the stuff I've done. I'm probably the worst person to ever write to you. I wish I could change the terrible choices I made, but I can't. I can only try to be better. I listen to you every week. Well, this dear soul, and I remember this letter. It's a lady writing in, and she just feels like everything is hopeless. But I want to tell you something. When you come to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, no one is hopeless. No one is hopeless. And St. Paul said he was a chief of sinners, and God saved the chief. And God loves you. He hates your sin. It grieves Him when you go into sin. But when you come back, you have open arms, and Jesus will take you back. And then He says, of all your sins, I'll remember them no more. Like, for instance, in John 5, verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Has that right that minute. It isn't a long process or anything else. Heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And Jesus says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't be put into hell, but you're passed from death unto life, eternal life. That's the gospel, and it's for you. And maybe you have some great sins, but God's grace is greater than all our sins. Take them to Jesus. He'll forgive everyone. Start with a new slate. Here's one from Ilo in the Philippines. I enjoy you reading the letters. Now, we get a lot of people. I even had one letter that said they wondered if I couldn't read more letters and less sermon. You know where that letter went? Oh, man alive. I about had a heart attack. But he says, and writing in, they like these letters. I enjoy you reading the letters. I also ask Christ to come into my life and save me and forgive my sins. But nothing. In John, it is easy to get forgiveness, but in Romans and other books, very hard to get forgiveness. I don't know what he's reading. I keep getting my sins in my mind all the time. Been praying for years, and I need help. John makes it too easy to be saved. See, there's a lot of people think that it's too easy to be saved. You say, now, here's what you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they say, oh, that's too easy. Don't I have to do something? Well, yes, you get to work after you're saved. But to be saved, Romans says, to him that worketh not, but believeth. To Abraham, he believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He just believed, believe. That's what it is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you believe what Jesus says. And Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, and he'll forgive us our sins. And then you get to work. but don't work to get saved, because all our works are like filthy rags. And we're told in Ephesians, he says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth, and then we're told in Ephesians, that not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy, not by works, lest any man should boast. And you see, here's the deal. If I got to heaven by boasting about what I done, everybody and his dog would be boasting. And all you would be around there is boasting on what you did to get to heaven. But when we get to heaven, you know what boasting we're going to do? We're going to say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, save my soul. All the glory goes to God, doesn't go to your dumb little works. So get that out of your mind. It's just by faith. And then after we're saved, we want to serve Jesus and serve him, you bet. Oh, let's see. Here's Avoca, Iowa. This is our quarterly donation. We watch you every Sunday morning before we go to church. I am only 70 and my wife is 66. We are jealous of your age and hope we make it that long. We really enjoyed your movie, and it was very eye-opening and inspiring. And he's talking about the heart of a shepherd is how I accepted the Lord, a story of my life in a way. And we put in all the good things, bad things, we erased them, just put in the good things. But here he says that he wants to live as long as I did, 97 years. 97 years. Well, I'll tell you how you can do it. Keep breathing. That's all there is to it. Easy. Just keep breathing. You'll get there. And then here is Shell Knob, Missouri. A few weeks back, you said in your sermon, we need to fear God. I don't understand why we need to fear a loving God. Please explain. And thank you for all you do for us out here. And that's in Missouri. Well, here's how I answered that. I loved my mother, but I feared her stick. I love God, but I don't want to go against his will and break his will, break his word. And I do it all the time. And then I ask him to forgive me, and he forgives me every time. And so many, how long can you do that? 70 times 7? And I tell you, you know how many times you can do that? Oh, about 5 million. There's no end of God's grace. And every time you fail, you get back up. See, the devil wants you to get down and think it's just too bad and you're never going to make it. And don't you ever think that for a minute. Because Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Paul writes about it. He says, oh, I'm having an awful times. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. Oh, he says, I, wretched man I am. Who shall deliver me? And then it goes on to say, Jesus. Jesus delivers us. And you're never going to be perfect. So don't worry when you mess up a little bit. Just ask Jesus to forgive you and just be served. Just be sincere and honest from your heart. And God knows. God really is the only one that does know my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. But he knows. And he knows if I really mean it and I really love him and I really want to serve him. He knows that. And I'm stumbling all around. But he says, look at what he did with David. Look at how David was. He was terrible. And yet he says, he was a man after my own heart. And David didn't like his sins. He hated his sins. But everybody says, oh, he's so bad. Yeah, how could God love something like that? Well, God could see his heart. See his heart. You can't see mine. I can't see yours. Just God. And that's all we need. One more. Brookings, South Dakota. I applaud you on the down-to-earth way of delivering the gospel. You have always paralleled the gospel with how we can best apply the readings to our everyday living. Thanks for touching so many lives each week. I drive an 18-wheeler. I'm not able to attend a regular church service due to the specific unload times. You know, my office is on a highway, Highway 12, and it's a big highway. And I see those big trucks go through, those 18-wheelers. And then I see them sometimes when they deliver, they back up right right to the point. And I couldn't do that in a million years. And I admire them because an 18-wheeler, you know how many wheeler we had on the farm? We had an old pickup with two wheels on the back, a two-wheeler. They got 18. Lord have mercy. But here he is. He's worshiping with us and listening to us, serving the Lord. Well, so we'd like to hear from you. If you think this is something that needs supporting, then you need to write to us. And or if you want to accept Jesus, or if you've accepted the Lord and you want us and want some literature, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I go really slow because we've got shortwave people. We have shortwave antennas, five of them, and we cover 90% of the world's population. Isn't that glorious? And so we're just praying that God will use that. But we have to pay our way. It costs us money. So if you think this is something that's worthwhile, you're thinking of the Lord, then you need to write to us. And here's a little trick that you can do, and it's really fun to play. You just love playing this little game. It's called, you get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and there's a place that says donate. And then you put some money in there, and you send it, and we just got one this last week, I think, from Norway. He put in Norwegian money. It came out as American money, and we paid our bills, and away we go. It's just the most wonderful thing to do. You just love doing it. And maybe you can send a little, maybe send a lot. But the main thing is pray for us. And just remember we have needs. And then we want you to know about a little Bible study. It's called The New Song. The New Song. And our Bible study this week, about this month, is about almost a Christian. And it's about a man that was almost a Christian, but he wasn't saved. And we're going to give his name. Name is Cornelius. Oh, you say, I got a neighbor named Cornelius. I always wondered about him. Well, this Cornelius lived 2,000 years ago, so probably isn't your neighbor, see. And how did he get so close but wasn't in? And did he get in? Yes, he became a Christian. So that's a little Bible study. You'll love it. And then one thing I do want to say about our offering, and that is our offering is we are under an organization called the Evangelical Council for financial accountability. They audit our books. So every penny that we come in, we audit, receipt, and we pay it according to our budget. Every penny, you can count on it. And then one other thing, we have our little film called The Heart of a Shepherd. It's an hour long. It's an evangelistic film. You can get it on a free will offering basis. And here's our address again, and this especially for our shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now we're going to take our offering. Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first, then she's going to play. And you give as the Lord leads, and everything will come out just fine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. I enjoy every time you play. I just love it. Well, we're reading from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And God has a complaint against these Jewish people of his day. And we're going to look at one thing that he didn't like the way they were handling things. They weren't really revering him. And so we're going to look at Malachi. And then in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so this week, we're going to pray for the our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. You know, there are 50 different spots on the earth, and we go down that list, and we pray for those people. And one every week, so in about a year, we can get through most of them. And we're glad to do that. God bless those dear people. All right, Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. And here's the complaint that God is making against his people. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances. You've not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And so let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that these people didn't have the spirit of worship that they should have had. And as we don't want to condemn them, we want to look at ourselves. And Lord, if we're honest, we'll know that there's a lot of places where you're really not first. At least in my life, I know there's places that I will fail. And I come back to you and ask you for forgiveness and redouble my efforts. And so we pray today, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, pray that the wonderful Holy Spirit will apply it to every heart and life. We're all different, and we're all in different stages of life, and we all think of different things, and we're all in different places of the world. But that's no problem for the Holy Spirit, because all over the world, the Holy Spirit deals with the people of God. And so deal with us and point out our shortcomings if there be any, Lord, and I'm sure there will be some. But at least point out our where we need to improve and give us the grace to follow through. Now, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. And we just think of how they must suffer. And we think of the children so many times, those little children. God bless them. Maybe they don't know where Dad is. Maybe they saw Dad put to death. I don't know. Maybe they lost their mother. Maybe they lost their home. Maybe somebody has taken them prisoner. Oh, Jesus in heaven, I just pray that you'll come quickly and just put an end to all the troubles and trials of life. And yet, I know you wait, because there may be one more to come, one more to come and be saved from the pit of hell and be taken into the kingdom of God. And so we wait and we just pray, Lord, your will be done. So bless them and bless us all now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to sing a song. I know you're going to like it. Mansion Over the Hilltop. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. A little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a man just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never go. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as
Well, thank you, Hank, and by George, we all want to go to heaven now. But you got to stay at least until I'm done with this sermon. And some poor soul will say, yeah, it'll be just my luck, sit through that sermon, then the Lord would come. Why can't he come now? Well, he's going to come when he's ready. You know, we have these fellows, and they set dates, and they tell when the Lord's going to come. I don't know. This is my 75th year in the ministry. And I know at least two different times where they set dates. And people, some of them sold their property and gave the money to the leader. Now, I don't know why the people couldn't keep it in their pocket, but they gave it to the leader. And I don't think they ever saw the leader again after that. But the Lord, he's going to come. But he says, nobody knows except the Father in heaven. So let's just quit our... Just what we have to do is we don't need to know when he comes. We just have to be busy serving the Lord. Well, we're going to talk about these people in Malachi's day, and they were just not doing so well, and it was over the tithe. And I'm going to preach about the tithe because we get letters from people, and they'll say, how much is the tithe? And can I deduct my rent from the tithe? And the farmer, can I take my cost from the tithe? And it just depends between you and the Lord. And maybe if you want to just give on the profit, well, you say, well, that's sure, pretty slim profit. Well, you have to work that out with the Lord. I'm just giving you what God says. It's the tithe, and he says the tithe needs to be given. And sometimes people write in, they call it tide, T-I-D-E, but they mean the tithe. And so I even got one and then said, if I don't tithe, will I still go to heaven? And I wrote and said, yes, you will. If you accept Jesus, you'll go to heaven. You may not be baptized, or you may not have your communion and all these. And there's a place for them. Don't misunderstand me. There's a place, an important place. But the only thing that saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's all there is to it. It isn't Jesus plus this and plus that and a dozen other things. That's just sacrilege. Jesus doesn't need any help. He did it himself. And he paid the price in full. So anyway, the tithe. So let's look at it for a minute. In the Old Testament, in our Leviticus chapter 27, we have the tithe. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. and concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even or whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. But then when you come to the New Testament, you have the same thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done and not leave the other undone." So Jesus is saying, keep the law, and so that to follow the Lord, we need to really follow the tithe and listen to that. So let's see why what we're talking about. Well, when we talk about the tithe, where did the tithe come from? Whose idea was it? God's idea. It came from the very heart of God. The tithe was instituted by God in the Old Testament. And I want to say this. It was given long before the law. Because sometimes people say, well, the tithe was under the law, not I'm not under the law. The tithe was before the law. 1,500 years from Moses to Jesus. And so that's it. We just have to just realize that the law of the tithe was in place during that time. But before the Moses and then after grace, then you can, instead of giving 10%, God says, give as God prospers you. And some people ought to be giving 10%, 15 and 20 and 50%. And R.G. Letourneau gave 90% of his income to God and kept 10%. So this something is between you and God. And then over those centuries, when the people obeyed, they were blessed. And when they disobeyed, they were dealt with by God. As you study the history of Israel, God's people, when the nation was sick before God, was neglect of the tithe because they were cheating on God. God has always expected his people to tithe. It's not a new idea. It began before the law was ever given. In Genesis 14, we read about Abraham. Abraham was rescued, rescued Lot, and then he had a great victory over some pagan kings. And when he did that, he met Melchizedek, king of Salem. And Melchizedek was a character. He was a king, and priest at the same time, in the same office. And Abraham gave tithes of 10% to Melchizedek, and it was approved by God in the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that Melchizedek was a type of Christ. He's a picture of Christ. And so early in the picture, in the tithing, God is giving their 10% to God. Sometimes after preaching on tithe, somebody will say, well, they bring in this law thing, but the law doesn't have a thing to do with it. And after we come under the law, we come under grace. But under grace, if under the law we gave 10%, under grace we probably should give 20%. But the main thing is tithe stands for 10%. In Genesis 28, we read about Jacob. And Jacob promised to give 10% of everything to the Lord. And because he was in trouble, and he thought he was really going to be in big trouble. And so he says to God, if you deliver me out of this trouble, I'll pay my tithe. So he's kind of making a deal with God. See, and that's not such a noble thing to do. So, but there can be no question about it. The tithe comes straight from God himself. It's not some man-made thing. Now, tithing is important to God. Over and over, God tells us he wants us to be first in our lives. God doesn't want to be the second place. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and might and thy neighbor as yourself. God wants to be first. He ought to be first in our lives. And so because he's first in our life, he should get the best from us. He doesn't want the leftovers. He doesn't want the loose change. He doesn't want what you got left over at the end of the month. He wants us to first give to the Lord. And I tell you, my mother gave a tithe to the Lord. And we were in the 30s. And we call them the dirty 30s, the terrible times of the 1930s. And our only source of income, cash income, only source, because on that farm, we didn't get crops. They set some heat records in the 1930s that haven't been broken yet. 110 for several days. And so on, we had what income we had was a cream. So we milked some cows, and we separated with an old separator, and we took the cream in every Saturday. And then we would drive up to the creamery, and we'd all sit in the car. There were five children and my mother. And my dad, he was doing sheep, and he was buying and selling, and he was gone a lot. So I drove the car. And you says, well, how'd you get a license? Well, my friends, listen, I wasn't born yesterday. That when on my day, they didn't have licenses. You didn't need a driver's license. You just got in and you went. And then they finally said, well, what you can write in and get a driver's license. And you know what stopped that? A guy wrote in and he signed up all the papers and he got a driver's license for his dog. Put in the color of eyes, color of hair, weighed at 100 pounds or 80 pounds, whatever it was. He got one for his dog, and for then they started to get a little more particular. But I would do the driving. We'd sit in that car and wait till that man would check that cream, and then he would write a check for that amount. And we'd give it to mother, and she would take off 10%. 10%. And I'm going to tell you, I tithe ever since I can remember my mother. And I'm so glad I did. There's joy in tithing. And it means I'm saying, God, I love you more than anything I have. I'll give you the tithe. And that's exactly what he did. In Malachi's day, though, they were good examples of what's happening today. In Malachi's day, God was angry with the children of Israel over their giving. And Malachi asked the people of his day, will a man rob God? And Merciful said, no, they wouldn't rob God. And God says, yes, you do. You rob me. And they said, how so? We're giving the 10%. But what were they doing? They weren't giving God the best. They were bringing sacrifices of the sick and the maimed and the weak and the blind. He's going to die anyway. Give him to God. See? Now, you see what they're doing? They're telling you what they think of God. What they think of God. They didn't think anything of God. And so God charges them. And he says, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lamb as a sick, well, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you, and would he accept you favorably? Malachi 1, verse 8. And so God is putting them on the spot. And the Jews were supposed to bring the most healthy. They were supposed to bring the very best they had. When they had that sacrifice for the Passover, they kept that lamb off set aside, and they inspected him day by day to see if he was perfect, as perfect could be. That was for God. And now here they are. They're taking the blind and the sick and the maimed, and they're living in fancy houses and driving snowmobiles and motorcycles. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Malachi had that. But they had something to spend it, and they spent it on that. And so it just shows these people are showing, mistakenly showing, that they really, God wasn't important to them. They didn't care about God. Give him this. Get rid of that. Reminds me of some of these rummage sales. And that's what they used to have, rummage sales for Jesus. And they had the more junk. The junkyard had better stuff than they had on some little rummage sales. Now I told my, and when I went to that church in Aberdeen, I said, I don't want no rummage sales. And they said, that's good enough for us. No rummage sales. We're going to give. And for 52 years, we live by giving because I love the Lord. And I tell you something, friends. What you show out, I want to know what's really important in your life. Okay, say. So I'll check your check stubs or your checking account. I'll see where you're putting your money. And I'll know right away what's important to you. And that's exactly what God is saying. I'm not important to you at all. You bring the worst thing you have and you dump that out. And so God is upset with them. And he wants them to change and come put him first. And then the second thing, tithing shows our faith in God. You say, oh, wee-ow. I don't know. And usually it's the men. And usually the women want to tithe and the men there. But I don't blame them. They're the men. They're the people that have to provide for the family and all. And so they say, I don't know how I can afford it. I just don't know what I can do. And I don't know how we can get through with it. And so can you trust God to make up the difference? Can you give that tithe? Now, mind you, I've given my tithe all my life. And there's times I've had the bills to pay, and I'd have to pay $10 here and $10 there. In my day, when we were young raising our family, they didn't have carrying charges. And the merchants, if you paid them $5 a month, they would never get after you. You were trying, and they were trying, see? And so just little by little. But so it's faith, you know. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have money to throw around. And so it has to call for faith. And so God talks to him and says, will a man rob God? And then he says, you robbed me of tithes and windows and all that. And then he says, you're cursed with a curse. You robbed me, you're cursed with a curse. And even this whole nation, he says. And then he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and provide me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll not open to you windows of heaven, pour out blessings, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. You see that? God says, prove me. You say, I don't see it. I just don't know how we could do it. Says, God, prove me. Just trust me. See if you can do that. And if you can do that, God will never let us down. And I know that some people, I know that you're living on don't have a lot. And I guess, you know, if you just don't, you just can't, God isn't going to keep you out of heaven because you don't pay your tithe. That's for sure. If you know Jesus, you have eternal life. But just really try and trust God to provide and to help you through. And I never could understand then how that people could think, well, I can make it on my own, but they can't trust God to help them make it also on their own. So God is standing by to help. And so too many people want to have money in the bank, or they want to have a certain balance account. They want to have this or that, but just give it to the Lord and try to do the best possibly can. And I remember on a mission field, one missionary was telling, and they taught the people to give 10%. And there's a little boy, he's about 10 years old. He accepted Jesus. And so he's going to give a tenth of everything he has. And so one day he brought the missionary a fish. And so the missionary said, oh, that's just wonderful. He says, yeah, he says, I'm going to, but where are the other nine? The missionary said. And the little boy says, oh, they're still out in the river. I'm going to go catch them. That little boy had more faith than a lot of people, I'm going to tell you. He gave that offering, and then he went to catch the fish. And so I just get serious about these things. And here's what God says. He says, if you'll do that, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out blessings that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says he will bless our faith, those who are faithful in the tithe. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that they will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit. I rebuke the devourer. He says, how many times has God rebuked the devourer? Something could have happened to us, some sickness or something could have happened to us, but God watched over us and he helped us. So God protects us and helps us. And I am one now. I don't think you ought to give and just say, well, I'm going to give God 10% and I'll get more money back. I hear some of these people on television and they're making promises they ought to make, not make. They're saying if you send in what they call it seed money, and you send in your money and God will send you money back, just like playing a slot machine, see, and you're thinking you're going to get more back. You give that tithe because you love the Lord. And the Lord has a way of blessing and a way of helping us. And he has a way of showing us how he take care of us and give us and help us along and give us our needs that we have. But we have to trust the Lord for that. And we have to do it cheerfully and happily and just say, dear Jesus, I'm so thankful to you and I'm so rejoiced in you that I'm going to give and I'm going to trust. And that's the way R.G. Letourneau started out. He started out tithing and he made earth-moving machines. Some of the earth-moving machines were bought by the government to build dams and roads during World War II. So he had a big market and he made a fortune and he gave 90% to the Lord and he kept 10%. And whenever I use that illustration, somebody said, well, if I had made money like R.G. Letourneau, I would have done the same thing. And I said, what, are you tithing now? Are you giving 10% now? No. Well, I says, then you wouldn't give if you had a 90%. You wouldn't give it. You see, It's just how you're looking at things and what your value put on money and how you want to stack it and keep it. Now, this is what God says in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 to 6. And God says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also reap sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." So you're giving from the heart, and you're giving because you love the Lord. "Not grudgingly or of necessity," because somebody comes and puts it in your face and you have to give it. "Not grudgingly or of necessity, God loveth a cheerful giver." And there's joy in giving a tithe, I can tell you. And then he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 9. God says, "I'll bless you if you trust me, if you tithe." And I hope that some of you will just take that to heart and really try it and do it and follow it, because there's a blessing in giving. But the best thing of them and the most important gift that God wants is not your money. It's your heart. If he has his heart, we'll find our way to give. That'll all work out. And so God wants you. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price of your sins, because he was not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But you have to accept that gift. And there are so many times that people say, "Well, I'm going to accept Jesus. I'll accept Jesus on my birthday. Or I'll accept Jesus on my anniversary. Or I'll accept Jesus at Christmas. That'd be a good time." When Jesus was born, he can be born in my heart at Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, they put it off. Now, do you know why people put it off? The devil. Because putting it off is the same as saying no. It's the same thing with the salvation of your soul. Jesus wants your soul more than your money. So don't put it off. And the devil will say, "Oh, you've got plenty of time. Or why don't you do it another time?" But God says, today is the day of salvation. And he says, not to wait, but to come now. Come now, he says, and I'll receive you in my life. And he knocks at our heart's door. And so we're told in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," Jesus isn't knocking for money. He's not coming for money. He's coming for your heart. "And if any man open that door, I will come in. I'll come into your heart. And I'll dwell in your heart, and he'll give you eternal life." And so he gives us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," now you've heard it. You heard it the best way I could give it. And I didn't do it very well, but I gave it. And you got it. And you at least figured out what I'm talking about. And if you hear my word, and if you believe what I've told you, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died for your sins and was raised from the grave, and if you believe that by receiving him you have eternal life, you just pray and believe Jesus. You know, we believe our neighbors. If our neighbor says, "I caught a 5-pound fish," you thought, "Oh, wow, that's pretty big," but he wouldn't lie. You believe your neighbors, but we don't believe God. So God says, "If many has received him, I'll give you eternal life," and you have to receive him, asking him into your heart. And if you make that prayer right now, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take them away." You made that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You may want to have some information about living the Christian life. You may want to send a gift. You may want to assure us of your prayers. You may have a question you want to know about the Bible. And maybe you want to share a blessing that God has given you. And so you just be sure to write to us. And all of you on a shortwave radio, here it is again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people that have prayed that prayer right now, and they become the children of God, and we're going to see them in heaven. And Lord, I'm praying today, we're praying today that you help the shut-ins and help the lonely and help the aged that can't get around anymore. And some of them are lonely, and help them to know that you love them and you'll never desert them, never leave them or forsake them. And oh God, pray for the young people and bless them and help them to make wise decisions, receiving you and living out that life. And bless the children, the little children who suffer. Oh, dear Lord, we give them all into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So there it is again, shortwave people. Oh, I'd love to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. So you get with us, and when next week we'll be back. We'll have the wonderful gospel and worship God together all over the world. And as I say every time, remember this, God loves you. No matter what you've done, he loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. God knows that I love you. I'd just give anything if I could say yes for you, but I can't. Nobody can say yes to Jesus but you. And so just know that that Savior has his hands out and he's ready to take you in if you just lean upon him, call upon his name. Whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, until next week when we gather around the throne of grace again.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.